guys, how's everybody doing? Welcome to our first inaugural episode of our Star Wars Book Club. I am your host, Blake Schultz. Joining me this week are my good friends Tyler and Harley. Say hello, guys.
Hey.
I'd say hello.
Perfect. Just now. I love it. That was exactly what I needed you to do.
Yep.
All right, guys, so I think we're going to dive right into it. Yesterday was Force Friday. Big, exciting, fun day. New toys, new merch.
Yep.
Everybody got exactly what they wanted.
Nope.
In no way at all.
Nope. Not even remotely.
I wish.
Right? So, Tyler, I know you went out. Did you manage to get everything you wanted? What was your experience like with Force Friday?
I mean, yeah, you know I went out. I went out with you.
I know you went out with me.
I mean, I expected what we got completely just because the simple fact that Toys R Us and Targets around here are terrible at stocking toys to begin with. I just knew Force Friday was going to be bad, so that's why you and I both bought our Black Series figures on Amazon Thursday late night, because it was just easier than going through and being disappointed, because it was pretty disappointing. Toys R Us didn't have a damn thing that we were looking for. We went to, what, two Targets? And only one of them even had, like, remotely a decent amount of
how
merchandise.
How early did you guys go?
We left at about 9:30, so we got to Hot Topic at 10, and we got...
And we that was the best experience we had, was Hot Topic, because they had the buy two, get one free on all Star Wars stuff, and we were able to snag some stuff before it really got, like, picked through. Like, no one had really shown up to grab at it yet.
I don't think anybody was thinking going to Hot Topic.
Right.
Well, it's been recent that Hot Topic has had, like, this all this Marvel and Star Wars and cool stuff.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it was not good if you wanted, like... It was only good if you wanted, like, swag or, like, shirts or
Funko Pops.
But, I mean, if you were looking for Black Series figures or BB-8 or Legos, you were not going to find them there, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. What about you, man? What did you think?
Honestly, I also went at midnight because we were filming a documentary that I'm working on. And I was really bummed out that Toys R Us did there. You could buy as many different SKUs as you want. And then you could buy three of each SKU, which meant you could walk out of there with 15 to 20 toys. So if you weren't one of the first 10 people, you weren't getting anything.
Which is absolutely ridiculous. Like, you think, not to dive into a subject we talk about on our other podcast, but you think with, like, the way Toys R Us has seen handling, like, the Amiibo situation, you think they would know that they need to really limit how many of each thing someone can buy.
Yeah, like, just in retail, that's kind of a common thing.
Yeah,
like, it's not like I'm like, hey, guys, come in, like, you know, this is an exclusive thing, and you can buy all 20 of them, one person can, because I want to give everybody a chance to be happy.
Right.
It makes sense in retail. I don't know.
And almost no one who went to Toys R Us especially was happy with the way Force Friday. There was actually a hashtag trending yesterday. It might still be trending today, which was Farce Friday.
Oh, no.
Because that's kind of what it turned into for most people. Because these scalpers ruin it for everyone.
Right.
It's just, That's why I was. You up with that heads up. That I was just like, just buy your Black Series figures on Amazon and let's just be done with it.
Yeah, because it's not fans always. It's people who just want to sell it later.
Exactly. Right. It's unfortunate that it certainly ruined some adult collectors' days, and more importantly, it ruined some kids' days. I'm sure.
Right. Well, and that's the other like really kind of disappointing thing, because when we got out there, like, did you go out at all for it, Harley? Or
well. I was working.
Right.
I was at the shop working. But I did wear my R2-D2 t-shirt yesterday.
There you
because
go.
For me, I was like, Force Friday means not just going and buying all the new stuff. It means that we get to see the new stuff and start getting excited about the next chapter in this amazing saga that we've all been watching since we were children. So for me, it was kind of like a spiritual Star Wars day as well.
That's kind of the vibe that we got into. We came back and played a game, and I watched a little bit of one of the movies, and I think everyone kind of got into that. Which is another reason that it's kind of a bummer that it went down, I thought, was that, like, you want to go... Because I don't know about you guys, but I remember after the first Star Wars, when it was released in 95, I got home from that and got the Jedi Luke, Darth Vader, and R2-D2 of the Kenner series, and was so pumped, because now you get to, like, you know, play with your toys.
Yep.
And then even for, like, Episode 1 and 2, we just drove over to Target and got the Darth Maul and Count Dooku lightsaber, respectively.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, it's such a fun part of the whole experience and world. And I feel like now they're kind of just missing that chunk of it because every shelf is just empty.
Yeah, because I remember once you saw Darth Maul with the double-sided lightsaber, that was like, that was a big deal.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was huge.
As a kid, I was just like, holy crap.
Yep.
What is happening? And I remember I think we got one eventually, but I remember we had two lightsabers and we tried taping them together at home after.
I had two foam baseball bats that were red and purple that I taped together, and that was my toy lightsaber before it came out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, man, if anybody went in there today, or like any kids who the toys are like, and a lot of those toys that came out, like the Black Series is geared at collectors.
Sure.
Yeah.
But a lot of the things that came out, like the Legos, the
and like the 3.5-inch figures.
Right.
Even
like the 6-inch. Like there's a lot of things there.
What are those, like the Build
a
Lightsabers now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Saw
they
a bunch of those yesterday.
Well, they have those at Target now?
Yeah.
Because those were only at the park at Disneyland for the longest time. If you were, when you'd leave Star Tours, they had the whole section that was Build Your Own Lightsaber.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They had some, like, I guess it, kits for it.
Yeah.
I didn't really look too much into it because I know I was just trying to help you find the Kylo Ren lightsaber.
Which I don't
even
think they make that version of
them
anymore.
I mean, they must not. If like we saw the three versions that they had of it, and none of them were the ones that you were looking for. So.
Just a shame.
Just build your own.
I might.
I want to build my own lightsaber.
I definitely did it at the park when I was there. 100%. I walked out with my parents and were like, get these children out of my way. I have to build.
That sounds fun. I have a question for you. I mean,
sure.
So it's clear that no one heavily stocked for Force Friday. Are you kind of thinking, because my thought process on it is they're really just waiting to blow it out until the day the movie comes out. And then, like, because it's like you said, like, all our childhoods, we probably experienced the same thing, at least after, like, episode 1, 2, or 3. It was like, you see the movie, and then right after that, you go straight to the toy store or Target or wherever's close enough to find your Star Wars toys, and then you get them there. It feels like they're sort of waiting to really blow it out until the movie comes out.
I think it's a little different than that, too, because when we all saw episode 1 as kids, we'd only seen the original trilogy. And it was like, it was more time, it was about the same amount of time, huh?
Yeah.
But like, they had never tried to do a sequel to something like that. Like, that first movie was in the 70s. They never tried to do a sequel, I think, to something before that that was that old.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And had such a big following. And so they didn't know, I don't think they knew how episode 1 was going to go.
Yeah.
That's
I don't think
fair.
He really
yeah,
knew, so it wasn't something where he's like, let's get it all ready first. Now we have not just 3 movies, we have 6 movies already.
TV shows, comics, video games.
Plus just
all over.
The internet to get everybody hyped about everything.
Yeah, and then the fan base has also grown because it's people who, we were taught Star Wars because we're all born in the, I mean, I think I'm the oldest person here, 80s and 90s. And then our parents taught us. And then people who were kids and who were like adults in the 90s who now have children, they are teaching their children.
Yeah.
So it's the fan base has grown over the generations. And so I think it's different. And also marketing with, you have to remember it's Disney.
Yep.
And I did an internship with Disney, entertainment marketing internship with them. And like they put their fingers in every frickin' pot. And they're so good at what they do. That's one of the reasons that they bought Marvel and Star Wars is because it gave them access to all these comic books, to all these characters with already a fan base. And if you've noticed since Disney bought them in,
2009 Marvel.
They did Miles Morales 2 years later from Marvel.
Yeah,
and then Star Wars more recently. There's been such a growth in, like, the toys and in the t-shirts and in like everything you have access to because that's what Disney does.
Well, it even alters the demographics for the better because then you also like, you know, it was a less representation of like women and everybody else and now it's so much bigger that half the time they don't even know what to do with it. Like we've seen that problem 100 times with Black Widow figures and I was surprised we saw, they did all right with Star Wars. Like you had Phasma and Rey and a few other people kind of out and Finn. And they're doing better with Star Wars in general of building up that diversity, so the toys reflect that.
Yeah.
Which is good, because that would have been a whole fun fiasco if you had showed up and it had been all Luke and Vader and Han and no Leias or anything.
Well, Star Wars, I think, always has done a good job of having like a strong female character. Because Leia, right from the beginning, the first movie was like running around being like, I'm not going to run away. I'm going to run around a corner and shoot you.
Right.
Like, she was from the beginning, like, such a strong female character. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, especially, like, I don't mean to say strange, like, in a bad way. I just mean, like, strange for the time.
Yeah, it was
different at that time to have that strong of a female character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not have her dressed sexually, which she got a lot of flack from.
Yeah.
In the 70s and 80s, she got a lot of, like, am I allowed to cuss on?
Yeah, go for it.
She got a lot of shit. I was like, I can cuss, right? Okay. I apologize. She got a lot of shit for the fact that she was covered up in all the movies. Because they were like, oh, what are you trying to cover up? Trying to cover up your baby fat? You're not, like, you don't have a good body. Like, she got mocked for it because generally that's what women did in those, back in the 70s and 80s. They were dressed at some point in something fitted or tied or low cut or something. And she had her hair up in weird hairstyles and was wearing really covering clothes, which is one of the reasons that she wore the Slave Leia costume the last time.
Mm-hmm.
To be like,
oh, well.
Screw you guys, I got this. Dun, dun, dun. But I kind of like that. I don't know.
So overall, you guys thought Force Friday average?
I mean, I got lots of people kept coming in and being like, happy Force Friday, and like, you know, getting Star Wars comics. I think a lot of it was very spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like the toy stuff was kind of disappointing, but overall the day was fun. Like, we spent a good part of the afternoon playing Rogue Leader on GameCube, and then I read all of the Vader comics and just watched some Star Wars, and just I was generally just thinking about Star Wars all day yesterday. Yeah, so I guess in that aspect, I would say it was a complete success.
Yeah.
I had people sending me pictures like of like all the stuff that they got, and then like pictures of them, because I guess at Target they had a thing where you could like pose as
in
like
in front of Chewie.
No, not the Chewie. There was one that my friend sent me where he was like a pilot. He was one of the Rebel pilots.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I don't think we saw that one.
No.
And he was just, it was like a little thing, and he was just like, it wasn't like physical. I think it was like if you walked in front of something, because it kind of looked like it was a digital thing, but you could see Target behind him.
Oh, that's cool. That's
so neat. But like I got people sending me pictures and pictures of their BB-8s. So I'm just like, I hate
you. Are you gonna get one?
Probably.
You need one to patrol Blastoff. And just
Yes.
Now, are you going to get one after I tell you this? It doesn't actually emit sounds. It's all done through your phone's app. Yep.
I know.
Me and Blake.
I know.
Because I was like, I was on the cusp yesterday of ordering one off
Amazon. It still moves around like that. It just doesn't make sounds?
Yeah, like the app will make, the phone will make the sounds. The phone will make
sounds, but yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't make sounds, and then it just, like, bumps into shit.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have a camera on it.
That, it got less cute.
Right?
I know.
It's almost, like, and then Target did one of their own that's, like, half the price of the Sphero one. And that one actually makes sounds.
Okay, yes.
Yep.
So you're going to get that one.
All
right.
That one. Awesome. If it moves around, I just, like, because, I mean, let's be real. One of the reasons we all like the droids, like, in Star Wars is because they make the cutest sounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like R2-D2, really, we don't know what he's saying, but he could be saying terrible things. And
we were making jokes about that. We were like, we haven't met BB-8
yet. So many
yet.
Jokes about
what
that.
What if he's
yesterday?
Just a horrible, like a horrible person?
Racist. Well, you know that R2 obviously is a little sassy and doesn't listen to, because like C-3PO is always yelling at him, and he's always talking back.
Right.
Like, that's one reason I like R2 is because he's always talking back to C-3PO. We just don't know exactly what he's saying.
Yeah,
that's why I like BT in the Vader comics. Oh, like, he's just talking shit.
Yep.
And it's hilarious.
All right, and we will get into that in a moment. We're going to wrap up this segment really quick, guys. So let us know in your comments how your Force Friday went. Don't forget to share, like, subscribe. You guys know how to do it. It's one button. It's easy. I think it's simple.
It is.
All right, we will be back in moments. Episode of the Star Wars Book Club. Today we are going to dive into a comic book that I have fallen deeply, deeply in love with, the Darth Vader Star Wars comic that's been coming out. I believe it's up to issue 8.
Wait,
9?
7.
We're not talking about the new Archie comics.
No. Oh, dude, I love those. No, Vader, I think we're it's seven. It's just seven. Eight comes out.
No, I definitely read eight yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, did eight already? Yeah. Did eight just come out?
Yep.
Yeah.
That means I don't have any more of eight on the shelf. I need to write a note to myself to order more.
Awesome. But
note to Harley, order more Darth Vader.
Right. Always. Why wouldn't you constantly? Just have it flowing in. Flow through you.
For context, you work at a comic book store. Yes. You're not just like ordering 1,000 issues of...
Or am I?
Just for yourself, just for your home.
I don't have any more issues.
Guys, I wallpaper my whole apartment in Darth Vader. Everything.
I was thinking about that the other day where I was like, what am I going to do with all these old comics? And then I was like,
wallpaper.
One day I'll have children and one of his walls will just be comics.
That'd be so awesome.
Really cool idea.
Right? I thought it was sick.
I like it.
Yeah, no, but I do. Yes, I do. I manage Blast Off Comics on Lincolnshire Boulevard.
Which is one of the best, probably the best shop.
It is the best shop in the city. No question.
I love it.
Guys, thanks.
That weird one in Culver City, I went through that one time. What an unpleasant experience.
And Dark Horse is just kind of lame.
Right.
I think the moral of the story is that I am not lame and my shop is super awesome.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right, guys, circling back around, the Darth Vader comic's been out. And I've been loving it. How have you got, Tyler? You just read the whole.
Oh, yeah, you just read it last night.
Yeah.
Oh man, I thought I was gonna like read a couple issues and then like do something else for a little bit and then read a couple issues, do something else for a little bit until I got through all eight. Oh my god, man! All in one sitting. It is so good. Like just right from the get go. Like I think right in the first issue where I got hooked is after Palpatine demotes Vader. And he just says this line where he's just basically like, Vader, you're a weapon. It's like, you're far better to be yielded than to yield. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, clearly this dude just has no respect for Vader as a potential leader of the Empire. And it's not ever better said than in that one line.
Yeah.
But I'm hooked, man. I'm absolutely hooked.
Well, because I think... Okay, I was so stoked when all these came out, because there is the Star Wars run, which is directly after A New Hope. There's Darth Vader, which is technically the same time period, right, but just focusing on him and from his perspective, which we're talking about today, and then there was the Leia comics as well. And all of them are, like, right after A New Hope. And I think the best part is that we never really got to see inside Vader's head before. We never got to see from his perspective. We never really knew what was happening with the Empire, because all the films are mostly from the perspective of the Rebels, mm-hmm, and then some insight into the Empire and what's happening. But you just see, it's like you're just in the room when it happens.
Yeah.
You're not like in his mind.
Right.
You don't really know lots of their true intentions a lot of the time, because that's what made the movies exciting.
Right.
But for the first time you get to see what's actually happening, and like, as a kid, I thought that Vader had all the power. I thought he was more powerful than the Emperor, for sure. Like, as a kid, because he was more intimidating, he was scary. Like, I thought he had all the power. Reading these comics, you're like, holy crap.
Well, that was...
He's not even close to having all the power.
He's such a pawn a lot of the time.
Yeah, he's just the puppet hand. It's the same thing. I mean, we saw it in the prequels that, like... Yeah. Palpatine really just picks up somebody and then is like... And we know that in the lore of Star Wars, that's what the Sith do.
But it's usually, he did that with Darth Maul.
You're going to learn to kill me, and then you're the more powerful one. All we're trying to do is power, 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 power.
Yeah.
Where Palpatine was kind of like, I am the most powerful. I'm going to use you till you're done. Then I'm going to get Dooku. Then I'm going to get Vader. Because even in 3, he makes that comment where he's like, soon I'll have an apprentice even stronger than Dooku. He's no longer relevant to me.
Yep.
I don't care anymore. But one of my favorite...
He's like Batman with Robin.
Yes. Just toss him away. And then one of them said enough of that and tried to throw him down something. One of the Robins had to have done that. Nightwing kind of did it.
Yeah, Dick Grayson does everything, that's why.
Jason
to everybody.
Jason Todd's not a big fan of Batman.
Not right now, yeah.
Definitely not.
Note to everybody, I love Dick Grayson. And
he's the Nightwing. Best.
He's my favorite.
He's the best. But one of my favorite theories about Vader and like that whole kind of moment in 3 was that Palpatine knew that Anakin would have been able to best him down the road and sent him to Mustafar under the idea that either Yoda or someone else will go and basically dwarf his power.
Yep.
Like the suit and everything else brings him down where he can stay as the tyrant and just the weapon and be yielded.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was a really interesting way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. That even Palpatine was even smart enough to be like, I gotta take that guy down a peg.
Because otherwise he'll become too powerful for me and take me over. He's smart, man.
I know.
But it makes me like you feel, because I mean, we all liked Vader, I think, in the original trilogy, because at points you eventually get to see him be soft. You get to see Anakin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what I love about this is you see his whole turmoil the whole time. And it's genius.
Yeah.
It's genius. I love getting to see in his head.
Well, and they build up, it makes the relationship with Palpatine better. Oh, like, yeah. It really, and even...
It makes it so much more, like, intense.
Yeah.
Their dynamic.
Well, I thought, too, that it even built on, there's that scene, I think it's in 5, where he's talking and he's figured out that Luke's last name is Skywalker.
Oh, 4.
And they, 4. And they have that scene of, like, him and Padme.
Yeah.
And all of those other moments.
Yeah.
And then he just, like, grips his fist and, like, the glass shatters.
Yes.
And I was like, they just made the prequels better. This comic is making the prequels better.
Yes.
Because you've never seen him even have a thought about before he was Vader. I don't even think you saw that in the old Expanded Universe.
No, you didn't.
At all. Yeah. And he's flying in that old Naboo ship, and at one point he says to the girl, and he's just like, this ship is fine. It means something.
Yeah.
There's reverence to this.
Yeah.
And it cuts to that ship, but I was like, oh my god, they're taking...
Because you...
When he goes back to Tatooine, like, that's a heavy sequence, too.
Oh my gosh, and they're going through, like, all the stuff that's been destroyed, and, but it's great because, like, you know... In the trilogy, you find out that, I mean, he knows that Luke is his son, but you don't never know how he finds out, really.
Right.
And I love that's true. This is, in the comics, is when you find out how he knows.
And I thought about that for a while, where I was like, when they did that reveal, I was like, did that...
It changed everything, yes.
I was like, did that...
Yes! That was such an amazing moment!
And then Fett's just like, we're done here, right? And leaves. Like, Vader doesn't say a word.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, Boba Fett, you're my man.
Right. Mm. He's finally doing stuff.
He's like, there's information, that's it, right? Awesome.
Great. See ya. I'm gonna go try to kill that guy, because he made me look like an...
Boba
Fett keeps getting beat by blind people. Like, the second they did that sequence where Luke couldn't see, and swings a lightsaber, and Fett gets bested, I was like, what is happening? If you put him up against Daredevil, it's done.
Oh my god. Oh.
Boba Fett can't
first Daredevil
beat
crossover
blind
comic.
People.
Oh my god.
Because
Marvel? Yes.
Mark Waid's writing the Leia comic and Daredevil just wrapped up. I'm not saying that it's happening.
I'm just saying.
But we have a breaking
Mark
news
Waid,
event on this podcast.
You should definitely contact Marvel and be like, "Hey, you own both Marvel and Star Wars."
Not to get us too off track, but I did want to mention one thing. I just thought it was like, it kind of, for a second, blew my mind until I remembered what publisher I was reading, that, like, I saw a Miles Morales comic ad in the middle of the Star Wars, I think it was, like, issue 4
or
something like that. I was just like, at first I was like, wait, that's absolutely right, and life is great.
Everything's perfect.
Because I love Miles Morales.
He's so good. But the other awesome thing that is in this is just... Like you mentioned before, the imagery that it evokes is brilliant.
Yep. Yeah.
Like it says a lot without saying anything at times.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's really a challenge, too, to take Darth Vader. And even if you rewatch Jedi and Empire, it's hard to make that mask emote.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much in just his body language and the breathing and everything else. And they do such a good job of making him look certain ways.
Yeah.
Through just, like, either painting the background...
The shadows.
Or, like, framing it, the shadows are big. And it's just, I think that also really helps with building on this character.
Because it's hard, I think, to do. I was wondering how they're going to do it, because in the movies, we had his voice. Like, we didn't have his face, but we saw his physical momentum, his motion, the strength in his hand. We heard the strength in his voice. We don't hear any of that. Like, we see it through the images, but we can't hear anything. So to have them take these images and make them still strong enough that we still, like, fear him and feel that strength.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
And especially when they make him, like, I feel like they put him at his weakest a lot, and they still made him carry that strength. Like, he's...
Do you think I mean, do you think a little of that, and not to take anything away from the writing or the art direction or anything like that, because it's all fantastic, but yeah. do you think it helps just a little that we can read it in Vader's actual voice?
Yeah, yes. 100%.
But I think everybody can. I think that's one of the powers of Star Wars and the way those films influenced so many people and all of our lives. Like, think about it. Like, when was the first time you saw it? I can't even remember.
It was the re-release, so like 94.
Okay. I grew up with it. Like, there's video. If you go on the Blast Off website, did you watch that one video I did where I was asking people the first time that they saw Star Wars?
No.
And it's cool. It's cool. Not to toot my own horn, but it was cool.
Well, they'll have to find it.
Yeah, they'll have to find it. You can also find it like on my Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and on the Blast Off website. But there's a clip in it that my older brother sent me when I told him what I was doing. My older brother was like, here. And he sent me this clip, and I'm literally like 2.5, maybe awesome. 3. I think I'm like 3. Yeah, I was 3 because I was 3 years old. And I was talking to someone about Star Wars at 3 years old and doing an impression of Emperor Palpatine when he shoots like the electricity out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was there, and I was 3, and I was like, Luke! And like my face is all distorted, and I'm like super into telling this woman about this at my brother's birthday party. And then like in the clip, I don't think they show the whole clip in the Blast Off video, but in the clip that my brother sent me, the lady like was like, oh, and like looks at my mom and is like, what is she talking about? And my mom goes, and before my mom can answer, my brother goes, she's talking about the Star Wars when blah, 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 and like answers, like when Emperor Pat, and like explains what I'm talking about. And I just look at my brother and I go, like, duh.
That's really
so. I don't even remember the first time I saw it, and I think that's hard for a lot of people, though.
Like, oh yeah,
oh for sure. The only reason I asked that question is because I was just thinking, it's like, if we didn't know his voice, would some of his speaking, his dialogue in the comics, be quite as powerful? Because it's not like he talks a ton,
right?
The comics, it's like, when he says something, it's meaningful. It really means something.
But that's the only reason
I
pose that question.
And I think that's why it would still work if you didn't know his voice. Okay. I think the way, and plus he is still just this statue of this giant,
this, like,
dark,
7-foot
looming figure.
Yeah.
So I think that's just seeing him is built in. Because even before we heard him, when he walked in A New Hope, everyone was like,
wow,
that guy's going to fuck some shit up.
Yep.
That was the first moment when you were like, ooh, okay, we don't know anything about anything yet. That guy, though, looks like he's in charge. Let's not mess
with
him.
And he's scary.
Right.
He's scary.
Awesome.
How tall is Anakin? Random question. Because, like, how much bigger does the suit make him?
I think it adds a really good couple point. Inches.
Because Vader's like 7 feet tall, right?
And Anakin definitely wasn't that tall.
No, he was like 6 foot.
Six?
So it's probably
so
a good foot or
foot?
So.
How?
I imagine he just made longer legs. Because his legs were hacked off.
And also that helmet's pretty
like,
tall, right?
Yeah.
That's also probably a good one. I would love to see a sketch of the Emperor planning out that suit and just be like, all right, I want him to be scary. Perhaps if he was taller. What color options do we have? Red? No, those are my gods. I like the black. Yes.
When you edit the video version, I hope that entire time it's just a giant close up on your face.
Yeah, it will be probably.
Right? I couldn't look away. It was amazing.
All right, so we'll be back in a little bit here, folks. When we come back, we're gonna talk about very much how this fits into the universe and motivates the characters. And compare it a little bit to the old EU. So we will be back in just a second. Stay tuned. Like, subscribe. Harley, where can they find your video you mentioned?
You can actually go to blastoffcomics.com. We have all of our stuff there. On the side, there's going to be a little thing that has a TV. You click on that. We have a bunch of videos. You can also find us on YouTube. Same thing, Blast Off Comics on YouTube. Also, I frequently tweet Instagram, all that fun stuff, videos, pictures, book suggestions. And my handle is @MissHarleyR.
Awesome.
Neat.
We'll be back in just a moment, folks. Alright, guys. Welcome back to our first episode of the Star Wars Book Club. I'm your host, Blake Schultz. With me once again is Tyler.
Hi.
And Harley.
Hey.
Alright, guys. So we're still on Darth Vader comics. Right now, I want to talk specifically about how it's kind of fitting into the universe, some new characters, if it's adding or detracting from the story we already know and love, and compare it a little bit to the old EU and what we had before. So to kick it off, how much did you guys know about the old expanded universe? Were y'all real into it, or...?
Like, are you talking about the novels?
Novels, comics, any which way you want to slice it.
I mostly watched the movies. I read a few of the novels, like, the ones, like, directly after. When I was very, very, very young, I would sneak into my mom's room and read them. So I know some of it. I remember that, I was really upset when Chewbacca died.
Oh, yes.
But those were, yeah, those were never officially canon, technically. But I read a bunch of those. I think that's about it for me, though. I was, like, old school classics. I just rewatched the original three over and over again and played Legos with them.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I didn't really get into the old EU at all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was, huge into Star Wars until, like, my early teens. And by that time, the EU was kind of...
muddled.
Fleshed out, I guess you would say, or muddled is probably a better term to use for it, and a lot of it was just over my head, and weird, and shit didn't make sense at all, and I was just like, this isn't what I want, I just want more of the original trilogy, that's what I really want, that's what sucked me into Star Wars, and that's kind of what kept me into Star Wars until this point, when it finally looks like, you know... knock on wood, fingers crossed, like, we're going to get some really good new Star Wars content. So, yeah,
that's kind of... We're already getting it. We're already getting new Star Wars content. That's great.
Well, I guess I was talking from, like, a movie standpoint. The movies. But,
fool me once, twice, and three times.
Yeah, exactly. So I said knock on wood, fingers crossed. But, yeah, that's kind of why, like, I wanted to do this podcast with you, is because I want to get into the whole Star Wars universe now that we're... actually trying to do it correctly.
Right. I was going to say, so is it
expanding in canon.
Right. Is it mainly the, like, fresh jumping on point that's helping, you guys, like, dive in now? Or is it just, like, Star Wars fever is on? Because I know I'm kind of in the same boat. Yeah. So I thought the new jumping on point, and also they're really fleshing out the characters.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about with Darth Vader, and we'll talk about a little bit more. So specifically, do you guys think this is doing... it's doing justice and it's really pushing forward the story, or do you think it's in any way interfering? Because it's right in the middle of 4 and 5.
I think it's only positively expanding it so far from what I've read. And I'm lucky enough that I, like, have to read this stuff, like, for my job. So that's part of the reason that I would have read it anyway, but I'm get to read, do all the stuff, like, now for the expanded universe, so I have to read it. But I think it's doing a really good job, like, for both Vader, Leia, and Star Wars. Like, I feel like it's all written by fans. Like, Jason Aaron writing the Star Wars stuff right now, he's a fan. You can tell. Yeah. He does such an amazing job. Carrie-Anne Gillen is just an amazing writer. I love everything he does. But he also is obviously a fan. And I think a lot of it is that they obviously have watched these movies probably just as much as we have.
If not more.
And they know, like, okay, you know, you'll be reading like a Batman comic.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're there reading it, and then Batman says something where you're like, wow, Batman would never say that. Doesn't happen a lot, but it happens every once in a while. And that happened to me before, and I literally stopped reading this one comic, so I was just like, Batman would never say something that cheesy. No, he would not say that.
Of Steel, when Paul Kent was like...
Yeah.
But with this, I haven't hit a moment in any of the comics where I'm like, that's so out of character for that character.
Yeah.
I feel like they're just continuing these characters and just getting more in depth with these characters that we already know.
No, yeah, I completely agree. Everything in it, even the stuff that you didn't already know, is completely plausible and believable when it comes to the storyline, like, between episodes 4 and 5. Right. Like,
yeah.
It just all fits. And it's like you're learning new things and like you're learning different perspectives. Like we were just like we were talking about in the last segment, like you're learning about how Vader actually feels at this time and about how he's more of a pawn than a leader at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's totally believable with the with what we know about his relationship with Palpatine and just like the mistakes we know he made in a new, like before and in A New Hope. So everything's just so well thought out in this storyline, 8 issues in.
It's just connecting all the dots of things that we knew. Yeah. We like we knew some of these dots, but now it's connecting all these dots and adding more.
Exactly.
And I thought one of the things that, because I agree with you guys, and I thought one of the things for a while, I was nervous when they were getting kind of into the like, and now Darth Vader knows who Luke is. Because at first I was like, well, doesn't that kind of kill episode 5? And then I was like, no, it really doesn't. Because he never, he just, they're kind of like, Palpatine is like, I think it might be Skywalker. And Vader's like, how is that possible? And I'm like, it kind of adds to have that in his back pocket of like, yeah, I know what you did.
Yeah.
I'm there now. I'm going to go get my son back and kill you.
Yeah.
Because that's even what he says to Luke. He's like, together, we can overthrow him.
Yeah.
But it also really motivates the choice in Jedi. And that's what I think is really interesting. It really motivates that moment when he's like, here we go.
Yep.
Son or leader, which one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's only making it stronger. Like, now we finally fully understand some of Vader's choices in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it's not like I'm like, oh, I get it now. It's more like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
All they're doing is really just showing us, like, the back psychology for all of his decisions.
Right.
And I love it.
And it's humanizing him more in a weird way. I mean, Vader, for more reasons than one, was never really, like, thought of as human, at least not from my perspective.
No, because he looks like a robot. And
Palpatine doesn't think of him as human either. Like, it even in one of the early issues of the comic, it's like, Palpatine's like, you're more machine than man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which is true, but it's just like, there's still a human in there somewhere, and it comes out in these comics, especially in, the sporadic, like, flashback panels that you get. It really, like, humanizes him and reminds you that he was once a Skywalker.
Yeah.
He was, and he loved someone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Very deeply. And to the point where he was gonna
that's what made that
the whole Jedi to try to save her.
Yeah.
That's what made that trip back to Geonosis really interesting.
Yeah.
Like in issue 4, because you see that, I think it's literally one panel, but they land back on Geonosis and they're trying to get that Hive Queen's, like, all the that droid womb, which is a really cool,
creepy
and
awesome
so
thing.
So creepy.
But it's like you see that one panel and it's just Anakin and Padme, like, in each other's arms, like, staring out at Geonosis.
Yeah, it's right before they go into the battle.
Yeah.
Like, this is hard for him right now, and it's just, it's something that you never, and I could be wrong, but it didn't feel like you ever would have even gotten that kind of emotion out of the old EU.
No.
When it came to a major character like Vader.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And I think the old EU, too, focused a lot on the heroes more than anything else. Yeah.
Yes. And well, that's what you focus on.
Well, you know. The best villains think they're the hero, Harley.
And that's what I love about this, too, is even the Darth Vader comics, if you read the openings, okay, like the openings for number 2, I think, was my favorite.
Yeah.
It was number 2. Where, like, it has the whole opening, like the movie. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But it's from the perspective of the Empire. So it's like, it is a period of insurgence. The Empire's ultimate peacemaking force, the Death Star, was destroyed due to an unforeseen design flaw. So it's great because even in the beginning, it's not obvious being like, look, we're good. But it's how they think it. They're like, no, this is so we wouldn't have chaos.
Right.
Because the Rebels represent the wild card and chaos. We don't want to have the chaos.
Yeah.
That's what we're for. So to them, they're not evil.
That was the Empire's pitch when he made it, was I'm going to dissolve the Republic and in the name of peace, fuse us all into one galactic empire.
And that's why I love this, is because it's completely from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what do you guys think of all the new characters.
Oh, man, I'm excited about the new characters. You know which one I'm really excited about. We were talking about it before the show, but yeah. the new Wookiee, like Fett's partner in crime, I guess you could say. Black Kersantan, is that how you would pronounce it?
Yeah.
Santi for short.
Santi.
Yeah. Oh my god, I'm really excited about that character.
He's got like the shoulder pads with the spikes. Like he's like the most badass Wookiee, and I love Chewbacca. God,
it's so cool. I love Chewbacca too, but I saw this dude and I was like, who is that, and why do I not know everything about him, and why do I not have a Black Series action figure on my desk right now? He's so cool. And
he's so badass.
You know so little about him. Like, he's basically been in one and a half issues so far, but he's the character that I
love. Characters that we know nothing about.
Yes.
They've always been able to just show you a person and you'd be like, yes.
But he immediately made me be like, can I have a comic with him, please?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just like a one-off, I
still want there to be like a few one-offs, like official canon that are like happening on the Wookiee planet. I want to know more about them. I'm just saying, always have, always will.
Oh, Kashyyyk.
what do you guys think about Dr. Aphra? I was really back and forth on her, to be honest.
When she was first announced on the cover of 3, I remember being like, oh, because she's in that like kind of like
it's the pose.
Sexy hip pose, the like every sci-fi girl pose with the blaster.
With the
hip
pocket a little bit, the hip out, the back like this.
And I was like, are we going to do that? Are we just going to give him the like kind of bland, just like, I don't want to say object, but object of just like, I'm here to be a woman.
Yeah, but...
But then she showed
then we
up.
Know, but then we know how the Star Wars universe is, and we know we have Leia.
Right, yep.
And other strong female characters. I mean, Padme had her good moments.
Oh, she's fine.
She had good moments.
She fights that whole, like, wombat monster. She
has good moments. And Leia has always been a badass among many other female characters. We're talking about Mo earlier.
Mon Mantha.
Yeah, Mon Mantha. Like, she... It's badass.
Yeah.
And a ginger. But it's Star Wars. I don't think that they've ever introduced a female character that was, well, human female character that was boring.
The Force Awakens girl I didn't care for very much. Or not The Force Awakens.
Are you talking about Rey?
We don't.
Darth Vader's apprentice game. Force Unleashed?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Okay.
Force Unleashed.
What are you talking about?
The love interest in that game was a little vanilla, but it's also a video game.
And so you're talking about a video game.
I know. They're getting better. They're trying.
No, they're getting awesome.
They're getting
awesome because they have real storylines now. Like, there's scripts for all of the Star Wars video games now, and they're amazing.
What's your theory on her? Is she as... Because she's pretty, I mean, she's kind of badass, don't get me wrong, but she's pretty obviously submissive to Vader. Do you think that's really her, or is that more of an act?
I think it's going to end up being an act, but
I think
not
it's
going to
be a little bit of a trick.
I think she's going to end up liking him, though. I think it's going to be a trick, and then she's going to find out a lot of the humanizing stuff that we're seeing.
Because she, I mean, I'm always going to be excited when there's a new female character introduced anywhere. That's me. I'm going to be like, what? Awesome, but her first, like, little panel thing where she's, like, there, and she's like, it looks okay, and she, like, blows the, like, the dust with little mini robots, and then she's crawling under the stuff, and they're like, we caught you again, you're going back to jail again, and she's like, I was kind of like, okay. She's very rebellious, but then there's a part where she meets him, and he says he needs her help, and she was like, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
And they're being like, I feel like that was a little sarcastic.
I think so. Well, I think, too, she plays really well with him because she's kind of like, hey, like, tall, dark, and scary. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's why I like her because she has that kind of, like, sarcastic air to her.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be kind of like Han's sarcastic air.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little like that.
And then she's got that whole sequence where she's basically, like, telling Vader it's okay to kill her. And I'm thinking the whole time, I'm like...
Intense.
I'm like, you know better than this. There's no way, if you thought Vader was going to kill you, there's no way you would be saying it's okay.
It might
you know that he still has use for you.
Yeah.
I just think, I said earlier that I was back and forth on her, I don't mean her as a character. I mean her as, like, who she actually is.
And
like, part of me thinks she's actually, like, kind of like a fangirling over Vader a little bit, but then another part of me, especially after is it issue Oh, yeah, it's issue 8 where she pulls off that huge heist for with Santi, and they trick those 3 other bounty hunters. It's like, she's really good at tricking people.
Yeah.
So is she tricking Vader?
I think that's the best part about her character is that we don't know.
Yeah.
We're like, and also she's Dr. Afra, and she's she's basically kind of like a female Indiana Jones because she's a robot. She's a robot archaeologist, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's like a doctor and a robot archaeologist, and I'm just kind of like,
together.
I'm like, oh hell yeah,
that's awesome.
She's basically a Star Wars female Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Oh, that's so badass.
Which is why you should definitely also not trust her.
Right. But she's rocking with the evil droids.
Yo.
Oh, the evil droids are so fun. Triple Zero and BT. Oh, I love those
guys. They're so fun and crazy. I love when BT is just like, well, sir, I could just murder them.
You mean Triple Zero?
Triple Zero, yeah. Yeah,
he's great.
Triple Zero's awesome. Because it's like, you can picture him talking exactly like 3PO, but he's saying,
but
like, murderous things.
Awesome part about this book is they're fighting so many great moments for comedy that are like built into it that don't feel like, why is the Vader comic trying to be
funny,
hilarious? Yeah. But they found like the right character to just be evil. And since he's a droid, he doesn't care about what Vader says. He's just kind of like, okay.
Plus, in the new previews, this made me excited, is the new Vader Down. It's a 6-part miniseries. And it's going to be him basically against, like, Han, Leia, and Luke.
Everyone, yeah.
Vader Down.
That's going to be awesome. I didn't even know.
It's okay, previews only came out, like,
a million voices cried out.
That makes me
really
excited.
Giving them what they want.
I know, I love that. A million voices cried out.
That's awesome.
And we're giving them what they want.
Right.
Yeah, is there anything else you guys want to add, or?
Our
last 2 minutes here?
I just thought the other interesting character, and we don't have to spend any time on it today, but Silo 4/Silo 5.
Yeah.
Like, basically Palpatine's right-hand man right now. And it's discovered in issue 5 that he's basically training a bunch of replacements for Vader.
Yep.
He's got those crazy cool, like, twins.
Oh, those twins.
He's got Admiral Akbar's brother. Not really his brother, but like...
With the weird... That one that like leaps on him?
Yeah. And Vader's just straight up is like, I'm going to kill all of them.
And I know how like Vader's like kicking all their asses and he's just like, well, shit.
Well.
And Silo basically says he's just like, the Force is obsolete. Like, you're obsolete.
It.
Like, we are evolving past Jedi and Sith. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and Vader's just...
That's interesting.
I wonder if that'll come into play in The Force Awakens at all.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
They're planting a lot of little seeds that I'm every now and then like...
This is why everybody needs to read all the Star Wars comics.
Yep.
Yep, that's why I'm getting on board right now, at the beginning.
Next week, on the 9th, this next Wednesday, is when the Journey Begins Force Awakens Shattered Empire comic comes out. That's supposed to be after Jedi, before Force Awakens.
Sweet.
I am so unbelievably stoked.
And Lando.
Lando.
There's
dude,
so
Lando's
many.
Good.
Lando's great.
All the good stuff.
Well, guys, if you want to hear about all of that, just subscribe right to us. We're going to be doing this weekly. I think next week is going to be a little bit of Leia, probably, because I've just finished all that up. And we'll also be doing the books, probably some video games, movies, anything and everything Star Wars right here. Like us, subscribe to us, share us, all that jazz. You can find me personally at QuakeBorder55 on Twitter. And on Modern Nostalgia Productions for everything we're doing here, Twitter and Instagram. They can find Tyler at
The Tie Game on Twitter. And you can check out very soon ModernNostalgiaProductions.com because I'm almost done with that website. There'll be links to our Twitch channel and our YouTube channel and also all of our podcasts. We have another one in the works, so we'll be talking about that pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
Harley?
And for me, it's going to be, you can find... every information about my shop, Blast Off Comics, blastoffcomics.com. For me, it's going to be at Miss M-I-S-S Harley R for Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, all that fun stuff. So,
awesome. All right, guys, thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.